be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus exclaimed, "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light." The Gospel of the Lord. Now, the reading you'll be listening to this evening from the Gospel of St. Matthew, in fact, is very revolutionary. Why do I say that? Well, if you go back in the history of mankind, whenever God was mentioned or people who had gods in their life, there were always people to be feared. And the same way with those who are Christians or belong to the Jewish religion, God was somebody to be placated, to be pleased. And if you didn't do that, you were punished. So it's difficult how you could love a God like that. In fact, you would not love a God like that, who was out to punish people and make life difficult for people. For example, if you were a good Jew and you were practicing your religion, you had to observe 632 different laws. That would be impossible for any normal human being. And then along comes this man that we call Jesus. And Jesus totally turned everything upside down. He said, "Oh no, you've got a totally wrong idea of what God is like, of who God is." And he used words like you. He used words like this when talking about God. He described him as somebody who says to you, to me, "Come to me, all you who labor and are overburdened. Learn of me, because my yoke is easy. And you will find rest for your soul." Totally different image or idea of God. Totally. Absolutely, totally different. And so where are we in regard to that? Well, most of us would have heard this reading from the Gospel many, many times before. And we probably say, "Oh yeah, I heard that before." And we go on in our old way, still with this image of God as somebody to be pleased and placated, and if we don't do God's will, so to speak, we'll end up in hell or we'll end up damned. Wrong, wrong, wrong. There's an interesting phrase in the Gospel to this evening. I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. I wonder what we mean by little ones. And it's very often the simple people get understand things much better than the so-called wise, sophisticated, and learned. I have a story, I think, that explains this very, very, very well. Many, many years ago, as a young pastor, a young parish priest, back in the United Kingdom, there was a man who came to Mass every Sunday morning. He was a very, very well-educated man. He had a science degree in geology, and he was a professor of geophysics. And he was forever wanted to talk to me about the creation of the world, the origin of all things, and about everything concerning the universe. He was probably the most intelligent man that I ever met, apart from myself. Didn't mean that. But he was probably the most intelligent man that I ever met. And it happened that he lived not too far away from the church. And every morning, Sunday morning, on his way to Mass, he would walk to the church with a man, an old Irish man, who worked all his years in farming. And the name of the geophysicist, the professor of geophysics, was Harold. And Harold said to me one day, he said, "You know, Father John," who was the man that worked all his life in farming, he said, "John has more wisdom on the tip of his little finger than I have in all the things that I learned, in all the knowledge I have of geophysics and geology." And I said, "How come?" And he said, "Well, all the knowledge that I have was passed on to me from somebody else. None of it came from within me or from my experience. But every word that comes out of John's mouth is from a living experience. It's all, he knows more about nature and the world," he said, "than I do, in spite of all my learning." And just to prove that, I always lived in fear that Harold would one day, we got to be quite good friends, would ask me to go along to his house some evening for dinner. And eventually that came about. And he said, "My wife and I would love to have you come one evening for dinner." So I prepared myself for the most boring evening in my life, when I would have to sit listening to the origin of the world and all things made and all things visible and invisible. And so I thought I'd kind of lead him down a different path. And as soon as we sat down to eat, and his wife, Dorothy, was sitting there, I said, "Dorothy, how did you and Jeff come to meet?" And she said, "Oh, well, we met at university, and that's where we met for the first time." And I said, "Where do you come from, or what part of the country do you come from?" And she said, "I was brought up in a very rural community. In fact," she said, "like you, in your younger days, I lived on a farm." And suddenly Harold looked at her and said, "Oh, Dorothy," he said, "were you raised on a farm?" And she said, "Yes, dear." "Oh," he said, I too was raised on a farm. And I never knew you were raised on a farm. And I thought, hell, these two people have been married for 38 years, and they don't even know one another. So I kind of introduced them. Well, if you live with your wife for 38 years, you don't even know she comes from a farming community. What the hell were you doing all those 38 years? So I said, that's funny, I said. So now I said, there's something you know about Dorothy. She comes from a farming community, just like you. You never knew that, no. Well, anyhow, it's an interesting story. It's not finished yet. So Harold used to come to Mass every Sunday. Dorothy, his wife, was not Catholic. And he would sit always beside this one couple, this man and his wife, and they became good friends. And then suddenly, the man died suddenly. He died from a heart attack. And so Harold still kept coming to Mass every Sunday morning, but now he sat just with his wife. And then one day, to my surprise, Harold disappeared with the wife, and they ran off together. And I said to myself, at least the guy is normal. I didn't really mean that, but you know. There's something normal about him. And off he went, and the poor wife was left high and dry, Dorothy. Now, people asked me this morning, what happened to Dorothy? I don't know, because I never saw Dorothy again, because she wouldn't be coming to Mass, and I would have no connection with her. And then because of a number of events in which I was very involved, and ended up very often on the national news and even the international news. Jeff and the woman he was living with found out where I now was and what parish I was. And his present partner called me and said, Father, we just found out where you were. And Harold didn't have the courage to phone you, but he would love to see you. Would there be any possibility that you would come and see him? And I said, of course I'll come and see him. And I went there, and he opened the front door when I rang the bell and stood before me, not the man that I knew, but a man with tears in his eyes. A man with a broken heart, a man on his knees, really. And he said, I don't know, Father, if I'm worthy even to let you into our house, but come in. And we sat down and we had a chat. And eventually it led around to a long, tearful and very heartfelt confession. And he said, do you think I could receive communion sometime? So I went back to see him again a number of times, and I brought him communion. Now, I want to tell you something. That man died a saint. He died a saint. And I learned something from him, that I never learned from any book that I read, or from any professor or seminary professor. And what I learned is that God never lets anything go to waste. And I learned that all those things that happened in Harold's life were part of God's beautiful plan for him. God's plan for him. And nowadays, I live my life, and that's my faith. That whatever happens in my life, whether it is good, bad, or indifferent, it doesn't matter, because I know that ultimately God will use it for my benefit, and that God never lets anything go to waste. And I see everything that happens in my life as part of God's beautiful plan. And so I can say to you here this evening, if you are, and we all are at the moment, going through a very abnormal, unusual time, don't lose hope. Out of this, as I stand here, I know my words will come true. God will bring a lot of good, even though we can't see it right now. We're now going through, so to speak, the dark night of the soul. And we're in the dark, especially when it comes to this coronavirus. But I say to you this evening, don't lose hope. And if you are distressed, or you are anxious, or you're worried, as many people are at this moment, will you please listen to the beautiful words in the gospel this evening. The beautiful words. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. For I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I am grateful and will be to the day that I die, that I believe that I found that God, not the God I was brought up with, to fear, but I found a loving, caring God. And I want you never to doubt God's love for you for one moment. Because even though you don't believe it yourself, God says to you 1,000 times a day, you are wonderful. You are wonderful because God, you're a creature of God. God made you. And God never makes junk. Amen.